After getting pushed around by the Rockets yesterday, the Kings were back at it in practice today. Jay, did you know that our next guest here, outstanding assistant coach with the Kings, Jay Triano, we've been talking a lot of football today with the NFL free agency starting. Did you know that he was drafted by the Calgary Stampeders?
I did not.
Of the Canadian
Good
football
info
league,
right there, brother.
Also drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know. That's a different situation
Jay
to talk
Triano,
about.
Nice stuff to join us. Coach, did you? How close did you come to becoming a Canadian pro football player?
Not that close. No, I was. It's funny because the way the Canadian Football League is set up, the draft happens in June, and like March, but the season starts in June, and it was the same time I got drafted. It was around the same time that I got drafted by the Lakers. So I had to make a decision, and I had played basketball my whole life. So I was going to try out for the Lakers instead. So I passed on the football.
Gotcha. We appreciate your time today. I know it's a very busy time for you. Coach Brown pointed out yesterday that the offense had been ranked third in the league since the All-Star break. What was the most significant thing the Rockets did to knock the offense out of whack in that third quarter yesterday?
I just think their physicality overall. They were into us. They stopped us from getting paint touches. We need to get into the paint, not just to score, but to spray the ball and shoot threes. Our transition numbers were down. We just did not do it. They're a good team. They're a very good defensive team and physical. And, we struggle with a little bit of that physicality. They just stopped us from getting in the lane and moving, and those are the things that we want to do. We want to be elusive with our offense.
Coach, something that Coach Brown has said, and you just said a couple times right there using the word physicality, just for the fans and the listeners out there, can you explain the physicality that you guys, the coaching staff, is looking from, looking towards from this team? Does that mean moving guys off the spot? Does that mean, the common sense like bumping and being rough? Like, what are you guys asking for when you say physicality?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right there. Like, anytime we try to cut, offensively, and we get bumped, it disrupts our timing. It disrupts our ability. I always like the analogy, you touch your man and you touch the ball. So when a guy gets a catch, you try to touch your man, just make him feel uncomfortable. And a lot of guys will turn their body halfway when you do that. And then if you swipe at the ball, they'll move the ball, which takes them away from being able to make an on-time and on-target pass. So, Fred VanVleet is a veteran guy who's smaller in stature, but every time you tried to run by him, he had two hands on you. He gave you a little bump, a little shove, and that disrupts your timing offensively. So, we pride ourselves at the offensive end of being, as I mentioned before, elusive. Try to move, don't let them, if you're running backwards in transition, you can't be physical against us. If we're making hard cuts through the lane, you can't be physical with us. Otherwise, you get caught grabbing us. But, Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet are probably two of the better physical defenders in the NBA, and they bumped us and they moved us off our course.
Catching up with Jay Triano here with the Drive Guys. Yesterday, the Kings, as they've had in some recent games, you guys had some success going to the zone. Obviously, sometimes it's just, a matter of change of pace. But are there some things about your personnel that actually make your team well-suited to mix in a little bit of zone?
Well, I think the main reason for the zone is, to try to disrupt the other team's flow offensively. Like, we feel the same way if a team plays zone against us. We come down the court, they're in zone. Okay, now we have to think of another set of plays that we're going to run. Maybe it takes away from our speed of our cuts or whether we can get into the paint as freely as we could in a man-to-man. So I think that's the same reason that we're doing it at the defensive end. It's just to see if we can disrupt the flow of the game a little bit, make them take a little bit more time, see if we can cause them to take a quick shot. I think Houston, like as I mentioned, they've got veteran players, a couple of veteran, point guard in Fred, who knows how to play, and he took the zone, and I think it bothered them a little bit at first, but then they figured it out and got in, and that's why I don't think you can have a steady dose of it. You got to keep mixing things up, and I think that's how you keep teams off balance.
Joined by assistant coach Jay Triano of the Sacramento Kings. Coach, in a perfect world, I've heard you, I've heard Coach Doug Christie, I've heard Jordy Fernandez, everybody, it seems like, have talked about how many shots Keegan Murray gets up a game. In a perfect world, what are you guys looking for from Keegan Murray as far as shot-wise?
Well, I don't know if there's like an exact number, but, we want him to be a scorer, and he is a scorer. I think he's expanded his game to the point where he can put it on the deck a little bit, get into the mid-range, got a little bit of a float, a little bit of a fadeaway. But, you know, we remind him all the time, he's gotten to where he is with the Kings by shooting the three. We want to take more threes than we have in the last little bit. There's no doubt about that. We want to shrink the defense and be able to shoot it. And Keegan's one of our better shooters. So I know he's struggling a little bit right now from the field, but at the same time, the way you break out of something like that is by, you know, continuing to shoot, continue to take good shots. When we drive and kick, we're going to look for you, and you've got to be able to knock it down when we do that.
Jay, we were going to ask you about that. The Kings, as you know, fourth in the league in three-point attempts per game. You guys are 39. Mm-hmm. Over the last 11 games, that number's coming down. You're only taking about 33 a game. We were going to ask, is that by design or just a byproduct of matchups or circumstance? Sounds like you definitely want to be taking more threes.
We certainly do. I think in the last couple of games, you know, when we do our scouting reports and we break down teams that we're going to play, there's some teams, you know, San Antonio, for example, and Houston are two of the better teams at taking away the three-point shot. You know, you come off of a pick-and-roll with San Antonio, they're going to guard it with two guys, and they're going to push out and almost face-guard the three-point shooter. So it's tough to get 43s, but our goal is 40. We'd like to shoot 43s a game. You're right, that number is down, and I think a little bit of that has to do with our confidence in shooting it, too. I don't think, you know, Kevin hasn't been on as much as he was earlier in the year. Keegan hasn't had the same confidence, so you know, and last night, you know, we've really got some good minutes from our bench. And last night, you know, maybe we can't ask our bench to do it every single night. So we struggled there. But I think it's a matter of just continuing to shoot, continuing to try to build their confidence. And we've got to let it fly when we get a chance.
Coach, it is an absolute dogfight in the Western Conference right now. And every single day we see the loss column and the win column moving up and down and side to side. At what point in time as an NBA team do you guys start to look around you? If not, if it has already happened, please let us know. But when do you start to look around for positioning?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but All-Star break is when I usually make my chart and look at who's left, who do we have to play, how many home games, and I match that up with other teams around the league and try to follow the standings and note whether I should pay particular attention to some team or that we may face. But, you know, we talk to the players about it. You know, there have been meetings where we've put up the standings and said, this is where we are, this is why this is a big game. We need to climb up. We got a little bit of help this, you know, over the weekend. We need to take advantage of it. So I think we're always reminding them because, you know, we think it's important to have the short-term goals of the games, but it's also important to have the weekly and the long-term goals of the season of where we want to be. And all these games matter right now. They matter for, you know, whether we could be in play-in or whether we could be, you know, in actually right into the playoffs. So, you know, I think it's something that everybody is aware of. So why not talk about it? And we do often.
Kings assistant Jay Triano with us. And coach, you being a basketball lifer, what has impressed you the most about the way Keon Ellis has carved out a role for himself with the Kings this season?
I think, you know, his defensive, you know, length and the way that he just finds a way to get his hand on the basketball. And, you know, we talked a little bit before about the physicality. He's not the most physical guy in the NBA, but he's going to touch the ball. He's not going to let you make a clean pass on time and on target. He's going to have his hand in the pot. He's going to get a deflection. And if that leads to a turnover, then that's great for us. And that leads into transition, which we love to do. We love to run. So I just think, you know, his ability at the defensive end, and then, you know, not hesitating at the offensive end. He's got a great shot. It's a little bit of a side wind on it. Like, it's got a little bit of a side spin, but he makes it at a very high rate. And we want him to shoot it when we get into the paint and move it. And he's not hesitant at all.
Coach Triano, you've been here for a couple of years now, almost a couple of years, and as a Sacramento Kings fan, man, sometimes I walk into the Golden 1 Center and just live in the moment. Have you had the opportunity to kind of do that over the last couple of years? It seems like it's been a whirlwind since you guys have come in and, you know, taken the city by storm. But do you ever just sit down and take an opportunity? And I know you're a coach. I know you have plenty of things to do. Yeah. And as you said, your scouting reports and everything else. But do you ever just sit down and soak it in?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, I think I've said on this program before, you know, as a visiting coach coming in here, I was always impressed because the teams were not always really good, but the fan support was crazy. And last year, it took it to a new level with the success that we had. And I'm just like, you know, so appreciative of the way that this team is accepted by the fans here and their expectations. I mean, our expectations are the same as well. Did you know that our record last year at this time, we had one more win. That's it.
Wow. Yep.
But everybody's expectations have changed, including ours as coaches. So we don't feel like, I think last year at this point, we were all like, this is the best thing ever. This year, we're feeling like the roof is caving in and we're one game away from where we were. And I think that speaks to the fans, but it also speaks to who we are because we're competitive and we want to be better than we were last year, even though the Western Conference and a handful of teams have all gotten better.
Coach Triano, we'll let you go on this one. When are you going to write your new book, How to Get a Bad Shooting Free Throw Team to Start Making Their Free Throws? Because I don't know what you guys have done, but it's brilliant.
Yeah. You know what? We scratch our heads all the time about that. We wonder whether we should not practice them because we practice them more than any team I've been associated with. But we're just not making them this year. And we think that that'll turn. Our analytics guys keep telling us that, you know, everything will find a way to come back to the norm. So we just got to keep hoping that happens sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and it looks like last few games it is happening. So great job. Yeah. Coach, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck the rest of the way. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you very much.
Jay Triano, drafted by the Lakers, drafted by the Calgary Stampeders of the Canadian Football League way back when. One thing I'll say, Jay, when he says, you know, we have the same record. Mm. It speaks to expectations. It speaks to what we expect from our team and the state of the West, but it also speaks to the fact that, as I think he alluded to this, everyone's getting better in the West. Mm. Everyone else getting better. And if you're kind of where you were, that's why you're looking up at so many teams, right?
You know, yes. You know what was, as Coach was saying those things, Whitey, I'm thinking in my mind, doesn't this sound familiar? Doesn't this sound like what we've been saying mm-hmm. so many times here on this show, mm-hmm. on this station? Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing. I will say this. It is refreshing to see a coach, and shouts out to Coach Triano
yes.
for saying that, because he could have came out with some coach speak. He could have came out with certain things. I thought Coach Triano was very upfront and open and honest in a couple of those questions where he's like, yeah, you better believe we look around who's around us. You better believe we want to see, you know, who's right in front of us and who's behind us and who we got to play. And with that being said, Whitey, expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, they understand it inside the G1C. They understand expectations have changed. And he even said expectations for the coaching staff has changed. Man, I thought that was very refreshing to hear.
Yeah, he also spoke of some of the offensive struggles for the Kings yesterday. And we'll look at how they're struggling now with the spray game next. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. So where are Kings fans today after another one of those losses to a team at home, a team that doesn't have a very good record? There's some frustration. On the other hand, other people are feeling and saying, look, how does this surprise you at this point? For example, here on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We should put your name on this. Let's all stop the fake Kings outrage and quit pretending we're anything more than a slightly above average NBA roster. Seriously, what are we doing still surprised by their play over 60 games? Fair enough. Just what it is they start to play better. There's still a lot of fans that believe this is a much better team than we've seen, and they're hoping, as fans hope, that at some point the switch will flip. And so you have some of these big wins like, oh, they won at Minnesota. That's it. Here they go. Oh, they won. They beat the Lakers. Here we go. Oh, okay, well, they almost lost to the Spurs, but they won. So here, we're on the right track. And then, wah, 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 yesterday happens. How about this from Folsom Mike? Kings play bad basketball when we don't match up well. We get down, we shoot ourselves out of the game by forcing threes with tired legs or going to the hole and trying to finish until we make personnel changes. Have more discipline with better coaching on specific possessions. We will continue to lose games against teams we match up badly with. Folsom Mike. So it sounds like, Jay, a lot of fans are feeling like, come on, we've seen this. It's ridiculous to act like this should be a surprise at this point.
Yeah, and that's called learning. You know, that is. It's called educating
right.
yourself, learning, and understanding that, you know, the Kings aren't going to go out and win every single game, which most people realize. But at the same time, there's going to be bad losses. Unfortunately, there's been a ton of bad losses. And I think once you see that enough, that you know, as Denny Green said, rest in peace, they are who we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kings are who we thought they were. And I've been petitioning for the longest for fans to understand that. There's going to be some ups, some downs, some, you know, side to sides, loop-de-loos, and everything else. But this team is a playoff team. They'll be in a postseason one form or fashion, albeit a, you don't want to call a play-in postseason. But I think they'll be right where they need to be at the end and vying for a playoff push.
They're 9 games over 500.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think one thing we do know by now is that they have a pretty slim margin for error. So you can't have a lot of self-inflicted mistakes. You've got to be a really scrappy team, and you got to give a ton of effort on defense. That's the only chance you have because you're kind of overmatched physically, and you can't turn the ball over. Things like that kill you. I'm going to do some here that people don't do around here. I'm going to criticize the guy that you don't criticize, Domantas Sabonis, because he had another, 46 consecutive double-doubles, whatever it is. And he never has a bad game, right?
Sure.
Yesterday, he had 25 points, and he had 15 rebounds. He had 8 assists. He had 9 turnovers.
Of the 12.
That's terrible. And I know he's playing out of his mind. I get it, but there's just no way around that. 9 turnovers. That for one guy. Yeah. And the thing is, he had a couple plays yesterday where he got maybe a little carried away with his passing. There's kind of a blind feed wrap around at the baseline. He threw it too hard, and that's the last thing he can do is get a little carried away and get a little sloppy with the basketball. He had a great game. Kings aren't in that game without him, but 9 turnovers, that really hurts you. And we talk about, hey, let's be honest about what's going on here. That's terrible. I'm sorry. That's awful.
It is. And he was the first one to tell you can't do it. And albeit it might be in not the form or fashion that you want to hear from, you know, Domas, but not 9 of the 12 in total, which was the second highest since, and the first being 11 in the Charlotte game. And look what happened. You know, he had 11 in the Charlotte game at home, and the Kings lost. He had 9 last night, 9 of the 12 last night, 5 in the third quarter alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the quarter where, you know, the Rockets made their move.
The Kings had 14 points in that quarter.
I know, man. I know. 14 field goals in the second half, Whitey. We're upping each other of bad statistics right here. But you just can't have it. You can't have it. And when you are a person who has the ball in their hand like Domas does and operating and maneuvering and moving the offense, man, you just can't have 9 turnovers. And he knows it.
He does know it.
He knows.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. That's not fair. Well, it's just a fact. This team right now, they can't overcome something like that. It's really difficult for this team with all the other challenges they have to overcome something like that, especially from one of your best players.
Almost had a triple-double in turnovers.
Yeah. We call that a Westbrook.
Okay.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey on Sacktown Sports. What's up, Casey? Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's up with you today on this Monday?
I'm just as frustrated as anybody at the games the Kings have been losing. However, I wanted to point out one point. We keep talking about how the other teams in the West have improved, and the Kings aren't getting better. They're what did Jay say? We're one game behind our pace for last year. But if that's true, and say there's at least 6 teams in the West that are significantly better than they were last year. And if we're at the same pace that we were last year, that means we have actually gotten better because we're playing better competition, yet we're having the same winning percentage. So, in the NFL, say one year you play a schedule of a 50% winning percentage and you win 10 games, and the next year you play a winning percentage of 750 and you win 10 games again, I'm in the opposite. But you know what I'm saying.
We got you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey. Gotcha. And it is the first day daylight savings.
I
understand your point, but to me it's like, it just doesn't hold any water for me. You're not the only one. I think Drapes has made that point. So nothing against you, Casey. But to me it's like, it doesn't matter if you're like comparing your record this year to the teams in the league last year. All that matters is how good you are relative to everybody else right now. That's the only thing that matters. That's why you have standings and you have a champion. So when you start stretching it out like, but if you look at last year and the record and the teams they played as opposed to this year, the thing is, it's incumbent upon you to improve as much year to year as all the other teams do, or you're not accomplishing anything. So if your record's the same, that you're not achieving anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Agree. I think the Kings, and, you know, I'm not Nostradamus here. We all knew, we all wanted, we all yearned, we were all frustrated when offseason came in and Vezinkov was the only addition for the most part, you know, JaVale McGee, Chris Duarte. But as far as, you know, I guess moving the needle, and we were definitely same thing. We were frustrated. We were all hurt. We were all pained that nothing happened at the trade deadline. And for me, that just further established, Whitey, that this team, which we had already seen all season riding a roller coaster, was just going to be, you know, buckle up. Mm-hmm. This is what we were expecting. And if you weren't, you know, as Casey said, and I know he's looking at it at a half glass full situation, and shouts out to people who do that. But this is something I think we needed to expect, and it's frustrating. It really is.
Yeah. I understand Casey's point, but it just to me, it's like, so what? If you're playing, maybe you're better than last year. You're trying to make the playoffs. You might not even get into the playoffs. Last year, you were 3 seed. So that's where I go,
you ain't trying to hear
it. A little, the mental gymnastics I'm not interested in. Lucy on Sackdown Sports. Hello, Lucy. What's up?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
You know, I was just telling Jay, I'm wondering how long are we going to continue to roll Barnes and Herter out in the starting lineup? On a game-in, game-out basis, they contribute consistently nothing. What's the worst that could happen if we make a change at either or both of those spots? They contribute nothing.
It's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, you look at other teams, playoff teams, they're not rolling out guys like Barnes and Herter that score, you know, 5 points or 0 for 3. One plays no defense. The other plays very little defense or is too slow. So, I mean, what's the worst that could happen if we make a change? They couldn't do any worse than that.
Thank you. I know what you mean, because I've been looking at a lot of these teams, and, you know, without naming names, I look at other teams and maybe their records aren't as good and say, man, there's like 3 guys on that team that would start on the Kings.
Come on now.
I understand your point.
You know, I will say this, Lucy, and this is something I 100% respect where you're coming from. I'm with you. Me and Lucy are the minority, but I'm not afraid to pull the trigger. I'm not afraid to, move the needle a little further. And I've been the proponent of like Malik, and I get what Malik Monk does for this team.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. But if I trust and believe in what Malik Monk is, and I have a conversation, and for me, Malik Monk is the attitude of the Sacramento Kings. Like for me, the buck stops with him. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And so with that being said, I think you have to infuse something different. And I'm with Lucy, and I haven't been shy of saying that. I think Malik Monk should be in a starting lineup. And I get what he does for you off the bench. But I also understand playing sports. I also understand frustration. I also understand struggles. I also understand slumps. I also understand emotions and being a human being. Like, sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we even heard Coach Triano right there say about Herter slumping, Keegan a little, you know, slumping. Harrison has kind of been the butt of a lot of people's frustration all season, the last couple of years. But I do think you can interchange and mingle and do something to see if something happens. That's
all right.
Me.
I gotcha. Gotcha, Lucy. So if Barnes and Herter don't start, then who does? That conversation continues. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As we return and roll on here on this Monday, the Drive Guys Sackdown. So we're just seeing what we can do here to give the Kings their best chance to win as many games as they can from here to the end of the year, whenever that is. We got a lot of twists and turns left in this thing. I don't want anyone to think that after yesterday that any of us are going, well, it's hopeless now. No, this is just, you know, we continue the up, the down. One thing that a lot of people are saying about the Kings is that however they get there, if they get in the playoffs and they get a really favorable matchup in the first round, they could win in the first round. And that's not ridiculous. That's very reasonable. But it's also true that if they get a bad matchup in the play-in, then they're probably not going to have to worry about the playoffs. That's just where it is right now. It's kind of hanging in the balance. It's very, very delicate. Fair to say?
Yes.
I don't think that's being overly critical. That's just kind of where it is.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Whitey. I guess a spinoff to that is, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Do you think the Pelicans have wrapped up that fifth seed?
Yeah.
You think so?
In my mind, I mean, mathematically they haven't by any stretch, but I look at it as like, yeah, in my mind they, I mean, it's funny you ask that because today I was looking at it and thinking, if Minnesota continues to drop with no Cat, could the Pelicans sneak up that far? Probably not, but it wouldn't surprise me. So in my mind, yeah, they're at least as good as fifth. The Suns, you know, they're hanging in, but their schedule is so blindingly tough the rest of the way.
They're hit and miss. The Suns are kind of like, and I'm pretty sure Phoenix is, you know, they probably have the same similar trajectory as the Kings right now as far as like up and down and being on a roller coaster ride all season. It's interesting because I look and I always, for whatever reason, I always look at the last 10 and the streaks that, you know, teams are on. And every single time I feel like I look at the Pelicans, they're always 6-4, 7-3, which they're right now in the last 10. Mm-hmm. They've won the last four. And I just think they're starting to put a little separation. And two games, look, I understand. Two games is not a lot. That's a couple nights. But I feel like they're putting separation in between.
I do, too. What impresses me about them is compared to the Kings basically have, you know, there's basically one way they're going to beat you. And if everything goes their way and they're on point, they can win. They can beat anybody. The Pelicans are a team that I think there's a number of ways they can beat you.
That's a great point.
You know what I mean? They're a really good defensive team, but if the defense isn't on point any given night, there's still things they can do. I've never seen a schedule like this for the Suns. You know, they're playing so many tough games. They got the Cavs, then they got the Celtics, and then I've never seen this before. Then they got to play the 1996 Chicago Bulls. I mean, come on. Then they got the 85 Celtics. You know, it's like, wow, this is a tough schedule. No, but it goes Cavs, Celtics, then they got the Hornets, then they got the Bucks, Sixers, they got the Hawks, Spurs. Well, they do have some breaks in there, but the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Cavs again. Mm. So it's really a tough schedule for them the rest of the way.
We just need the Kings to take a hold of it, is what you're telling me. We need the Kings to play positive basketball over the last 19 games, have a winning record. And if I hear you correctly, Whitey, please correct me if I'm wrong. You're going to tell me the Kings are going to finish sixth. Is that what you're telling me?
Oof, I don't know.
Not willing to go there, huh?
If they'd won yesterday. Really, because it's right there in front of them. Like, wow, okay, things are setting up nicely. But if they can't win that game yesterday, and we've been over the reasons why, it's not maddening or frustrating. It's like, I understand it, right? But if they can't, then it's hard for me to say, oh, they got the 60. They sure have a shot at it, but I don't know. Flip the coin, baby.
And I get this, Whitey. Every last loss is the worst loss of the season. But is there one that really just, you know, irks you the most so far this season?
The Detroit one was, I mean, just flabbergasting. Was it not? It's the Detroit Pistons without a bunch of their guys, the worst team in the league.
Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, and I know it was first game back after a trip for the Kings, and talking to the G-man after that game, he'd said, I had a feeling that would be a struggle, but that was, to me, that was a rough one, losing that game to that team. No business losing. That's an eye-opening game, though. That's where you have to realize, as some of the people are saying here, it's like you just have to realize, okay, I guess they're not quite who I thought they were. Maybe some of that is on me, not on them. Not making excuses, but you know what I mean, Jay? It's like maybe some of my expectations are just a little out of whack.
Yeah. And it sounds like Coach Triano and the staff has some expectations that might not be, you know, being reached by the team so far when it comes to play. And I think we're not alone in that. And on top of that, Whitey, as much as, you know, this is the toughest part, I think, for me of all, and maybe for some, because, you know, 16, 17 years of just nothing, and then all of a sudden everything last year, and overshooting the expectations, it has thrown kind of like the timeline out of whack a little bit for a lot of people. And if you don't tamper those things, you know, internally, personally, I think we're at, you know, for some people right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just tough to swallow right now.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We're supposed to get to who would be starting now if Barnes and Herter aren't. Jalen joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Jalen, what's up? Jalen?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. What's up?
Yeah. So I just got a couple things. I think Sabonis is kind of like a shortstop in baseball, right? He controls the offense. So he's going to have more turnovers than most guys, just like the shortstop's going to make most errors. 9 turnovers is a lot. 11, every time he's had more than 8 turnovers in the game, the Kings have lost. So my other thing is I think Monk should be on the court more. I think he should be starting. I think him and Fox should be on the court more.
Jalen, what about, excuse me, but we were just talking about this. So you have Monk starting. Is HB still starting, or are you putting Trey Lyles or somebody else in there in the starting lineup if you're running?
No, I'm putting Trey in there with Monk and Fox. Monk and Fox, I think the Kings are better when Monk and Fox are on the floor.
All right. Thank you. Gotcha. It's an interesting analogy about the shortstop, but we agree. You said it. 9 is just too many.
Yeah,
you're handling the ball that much, you're going to make more turnovers. But 9, that would be like what? A shortstop making what, like 5 errors?
I would say a good 3 or 4, easy. Yeah. Let me make sure we put this. 9 turnovers for anybody in any game is too much.
Magic Johnson. Yeah. That'd be like, whoa, Magic, what happened? And it wasn't just the number. If you watch the game, there were at least a couple where it's like, yeah, you shouldn't have tried that. Are you with Jalen on Trey Lyles starting instead of Barnes? Monk, Fox, or are you just sticking with HB and
the toughest Keegan? Part is you just don't have the tool in the toolbox for me. I believe Monk should be starting at the 2-guard easy. The 4 spot I'm a little hung up on. I think HB, I want to say, gives you the best. But is Trey the answer as a starter for you?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they stick with Herter and Barnes because of all the options.
Yeah.
And again, you're just trying to figure out if you're, Coach Brown and Monty, what's the most likely, what's the best chance? And I think of all the options, hoping those guys start playing better, while it's just hope and hope is not a strategy, that might be your best shot.
Yeah. I would almost, and this is getting a little bit out of whack, and I understand anybody on the pushback. I would almost kind of push it to go a little bit bigger for me. I'd go a little bigger and bring Monk in. I try, an Alex Lynn version of something starting and push Domas to the 4. Push Domas to the 4.
Wow.
Keep Keegan at the 3 and push Monk there and see how that works. But I can understand some pushback on that. I think, Trey Lyles has played decent enough, or good enough, I should say, that he warrants a look. I'm not sure for me, though. I'm probably not going that way. I think I'm going, I'm going Twin Tower. I'm going Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going Rudy Gobert, Cat. I'm going Alex Lynn and Domas,
Mm-hmm.
Malik there, too.
If I start Malik and I start Domas at the 4, I better score a lot of points because I'm going to give up at least 150. A little bit.
But does Lynn help you out defensively? Is he a liability? How about that? Maybe I should ask it that way.
No, but I think Domas at the 4 is a liability defensively. And then Monk and Fox are not, that's not a great defensive backcourt, but I mean, it's
what
not
are we
like
getting
Herter.
From Fox and Herter,
well,
right?
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right.
I think you got to pick your poison, right? No, you kind of have to pick your poison in the form of, and this is kind of something that we've seen both sides of the fence. Is this an offensive-driven team, while as much as the coaching staff and Coach Brown, they want to be a defensive team?
Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot to be said for that boost that you get from Monk. And I guess if you start the game with it, okay, but no one else in this team is going to come into the game and give you that kind of boost, I don't think.
But if we're starting from the jump, why can't we get that from the go?
And I still got to cover my 48 minutes, and it's really just a matter of, do I want that at the beginning or because he's going to finish the game either way,
yes,
right? He's been finishing.
I always like the staggering of Steve Kerr with Clay and Steph. I always enjoyed that, the way he staggered both of those guys. Steph would normally come out first, and then Clay would kind of end it. Then as we've seen Clay get a little older, now Clay kind of goes out first, and Steph runs most of the first quarter. I always kind of like that. The other part, too, is I think you can't tell me. And, look, I haven't had the opportunity to ask Kevin Herter, and I don't think anybody has. And he probably wouldn't be 100% honest. He'd probably give us some of that player talk. He's got to be feeling pressure. He has to be. Like, there's no way when you're walking around town and not performing to the best of your ability, which I know he would admit to. Like, he probably would say, I'm not giving my best when it comes to performance-wise. Like, I'm giving my best, you know, 100% effort, but performance-wise, not. You can't tell me he's not feeling a little pressure, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be.
I can see it.
Yes.
And it's understandable.
Yes.
And I think it appeared to be starting last year during the playoff series against the Warriors when his jump shot just like, whoop, where'd it go?
Agreed.
Not here anymore.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing to do.
Why not help him out, Kevin? And they did a little bit. They allowed him to come off the bench a game or two.
Maybe that would crush him.
Well, listen, you have, as a professional athlete, you have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coaching staff, you have to figure out the balance of that as well.
Who should be starting for the Kings? That conversation continues. Top of the hour, Emil Fragoso with a look at a big move the Niners made. And all that and more when we come back, including what does Baseball Jay think of a guy wearing denim cleats? It's next year with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. All right, so Jay, among others, is advocating for Malik Monk joining the starting lineup. What would be your starting lineup, Jay? Because I have here Basketball Reference. I have all the lineups. We can check how your preferred lineup has done so far this year,
okay,
which doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea or a bad idea, but you said Fox and Monk?
Yep. Fox, Monk,
and
Keegan.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go big. I'm going to go Domas.
Uh-huh.
And
see, if you go really big, I don't even think I can check that because we haven't seen enough of that. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah,
you know, your opinion's your opinion.
Plug in Lynn for me. Let's see what happens.
I don't think we've seen that line.
They denied me.
So, yeah.
All
which,
right.
That doesn't mean it, like I said.
Yep.
Maybe it's a great idea. It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
It is.
Yeah.
Which this team needs right now in certain ways.
I guess so. Is that something really you want to dust off? The Bucks are in town. Well, let's try this.
Big and long now. Long and athletic.
I don't need to change anything against the Lakers, do I?
No.
I own them.
Yes, which is lovely.
Will joins us here on Sactown Sports. Hey, Will, thanks for checking in. What's up?
Well, you know, I'm scared that the Lakers don't catch us. I'm scared look what they did last night, man. I mean, look, we have opportunities on the silver platter. We know Phoenix got beat. We know we at 7. All we got to do is win, man. Just win. See, if I'm out there, I'm a dog, man. We ain't losing this game. We not losing another game to the Rockets. We done lost 3 to the Rockets, mm-hmm. 3 to New Orleans. I mean, we and 3, I think it's another team that's a basement team that beat us 2 or 3 times. It's Whitey, bear with me, man. I got so much on my mind. Whitey, look, we are unathletic, man.
I agree.
We're unathletic, and even Lyles. You know, those guys, Murray, those guys are not quicker feet. When these athletic teams, young teams come in here, they salivating to play the Kings because we can't move. Even my boy Darren got blocked, I think, 3 times in that game. And we got to get some horses. And you know what I don't understand, man? You guys so sentimental to Herter and HB. Why?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm.
They ain't done nothing all year. You got to try something else, man. I mean, why is Kessel Edwards on the team? I'm not saying he's going to be a star. I'm not saying he's going to do anything spectacular. But you have to mix things up, man. I mean, this has happened too many times. It's happened too many times where a basement team come in here and beat us. And when you saw Houston making their run, I mean, my boy Brown don't make any adjustments. He don't make any changes, man. He just keep going. And then you see the frustration that Domas is an excellent player, man. I love the triple-doubles. But when he play against athletic bigs, he struggles and he tries to force things and he turns over the ball. I mean, we got to make some changes. I don't care if we lose a couple games. We got to make some changes. I mean, we're too slow. We're too slow and unathletic. You know, we got to get some guys like Kuminga. You know, we got to get some guys who can play above the rim, man. It's just embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing.
All right. Thanks, Will. I agree with you about the athleticism. Jay and I were talking about that.
Full
I think that really comes into play defensively. You take a team like the Rockets, and they did a good job defending the paint. And then Coach Triano was with us earlier, and Mike Brown mentioned it yesterday. He said, then we got to spray the ball. Sometimes you do that, and the Rockets are still able to get out and defend the perimeter. The Kings, it's like almost like, Coach, one or the other, I can't do both because they're just not – quick, strong enough to do that, right? They can't get out. That's one reason why other teams shoot the three ball so well against them. Some of it is luck, good fortune, but other teams know that. It's like we go inside, then we go out, you're going to get an open shot. They just aren't quick enough to get out there. As far as Kessler Edwards and bless him, I just, you know, Kevin Huerter has averaged, what, he's averaged 15 a game, or he's, you know, he shot 40% from threes. Harrison Barnes has shown he can put up some numbers. Kessler Edwards has never shown he can do anything offensively. I'm not saying that's a terrible idea. I'm just saying that's probably the reason why we haven't seen him. I mean, they just sent him down to Stockton for a while. I think they brought him back up.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that in practice, they're not seeing a lot offensively from him. That's a guess, because otherwise I'm with you. It's like, why not give him a shot? But I don't think right now his offensive game is where they need it to be.
Yeah, I think Kessler's had an opportunity last year when he came in. There was a few times one or two games he started last year.
Yes.
And look, I'm not saying he's the same player as he was last year as he is this year, but I can understand what Will is basically saying, Whitey, and we know this, is he's just tired of looking at the same repetitive mistake, right?
Now, yes.
I said this before, the difference between being ignorant and stupid, and when you're stupid, you know better, you just continuously do the same thing. The other part, though, for us is we've also said this is like sometimes you just got to kind of run with the tools that you have in your toolbox.
Yeah.
And you got to have to make those work. I will – for this the other part, though, and we're kind of playing, you know, armchair head coach right now. The other thing that I think that has hurt the Kings, too, especially in seeing something different, is Sasha. Like, Sasha not being healthy has definitely taken away something. Albeit, I don't know what that is, but if you were asking me, like, the proper starting five that I would run with, he would be in my starting five. Because guess what? I understand he had to assimilate coming from, across the world, across the pond to come over here. And you've had a decent amount of time, but not a lot. Like, it takes years. But I don't have time to wait.
Right.
And I know he's injured now. And so if he was healthy, though, for me, Malik Monk and Sasha would be in a starting five.
I felt like that was the plan. No one told me this, could be wrong, that eventually they hoped that by now Sasha would be starting instead of HB.
Mm, yeah, that inside information.
No, I don't.
Break it right here,
I know,
right
but
now.
I'm not, that's why I'm making it clear. I don't have that. That's okay. Just me. If I did, I would say it another way.
Sure.
Just my opinion. The thing about Will, and by the way, we have the smartest listeners in radio.
True that.
One of the things I appreciate about Will is that he speaks from his heart, and yet, while speaking from his heart, he speaks for so many. You know what I mean?
It's a great point.
What he says is it's how he feels, but there's a lot of people going, yeah. So thank you, Will. Real quick on the lineups, Barnes, Fox, Huerter, Murray, Sabonis. That lineup has played the most minutes. That's your starting lineup. 653 minutes played. They're overall plus five, those five, okay?
Okay.
Plus five in points. Fox, Lyles, Monk, Murray, Sabonis. So that's Monk and Lyles in.
Mm-hmm.
And Huerter and Barnes out. They've only played 35 minutes.
Wow.
They're minus 13 and a half.
Mm.
So just something to keep in mind. Again, that's it's not close to a full game, really.
35 minutes, yeah.
But that group has not played well together.
Right.
So that's another thing that the coaches, you know, when we say, what about this or that? And the coach is like, dude, we did that, you know, and it didn't work. So I don't know if that's the answer.
Yeah,
I don't know what the answer is.
If you're going off of almost three quarters worth of time, you know, and making adjustments, then albeit, hey, go ahead, do you. I think that you deserve to be where you're at.
But your Len lineup, like I say, I don't think we've really seen that.
No.
So
it's going big, doing something. I mean, in a perfect world, I'm going Sasha. For me, it would be De'Aaron, Malik, Keegan, Sasha, mix and match, whatever you want to do, three and four on paper, whatever you want to do. Obviously, Keegan's going to have to guard probably the four or whoever that night is more athletically out of the three and four. Mm-hmm. And Domas.
Hey, Johnny K says, Vezenkov, when he comes back, he should be starting in place of Barnes without a doubt.
See?
Well, I mean, he can't even – We don't even know if he can walk.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy.
But, yeah, I don't even know now if there's time for him to come back and if it's even realistic to think he could contribute at all. I hope so, but I don't know. I think we're getting to the point where he should be reevaluated.
Just a couple days ago. It was the 9th, I believe.
Okay.
The 9th he was reevaluated. Yeah. 9th or 10th, if I'm not mistaken. So yesterday or the day before. And on the calendar, he was supposed to be reevaluated. I haven't seen too much from that. I haven't heard too much from that. But on the calendar, he was supposed to be reevaluated as March 9th.
He was just starting to make his shots, and I think everything could have fallen in place from there when he sprained one ankle, then the other, and yeah, so.
Break the news, Whitey. You said it. You might know something. Go ahead and break it now.
I would if I did.
Don't hide from it.
I would if I could if I did. Speaking of breaking news, Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider, Sacktown Sports, he's going to join us with the latest on a busy day already for the Niners next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.